All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday, any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. And we're going to be talking with Steve Dawson, singer-songwriter. He'll be live in studio, talk about his new record and the fact that he's playing at Square Roots Festival. And we're going to talk about protest songs, and we're going to remember the great Rip Torn. And Know Your Onion coming up. That's when Tom is your host, and he will read you a series of newspaper headlines, and you have to tell us news headlines, and you have to tell us whether they are real or whether they are not real, and they're fake, and they're satirical comedy from The Onion. So you answer real or onion. The real news is real weird now, and sometimes it's very, very hard to tell whether it's a real headline or from The Onion. And that's if you know it, you win it. That's how it works. And we'll do that at the after the 4:30 news. Know Your Onion. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Okay, my next guest is one of my favorite guests that we've had. One of the best writers that Mad Magazine ever had. Also created some amazing stuff, worked on great game shows, including the legendary Match Game. And he is the Gizwiz. And he's the co-host of the Gizwiz at gizwiz.tv. He's a gizmo and gadget freak, and we'll talk about that and much more. Reason why we're going to have Mon is sad news is that Mad Magazine is going to cease publication, and we wanted to talk with our good friend Dick DiBartolo about that. So we welcome Dick back to the show. Dick, welcome back.
Thank you so much. You know, I have to clear up one thing.
Yeah.
So Mad, as we know it, is ending. So issue 9 is the next one out, and that's a regular Mad, and that'll be on newsstands. Then issue 10 is another regular issue of Mad, and that will not be on newsstands. That will go to subscribers and be available at comic book stores only. And then from 11 on, they're going to make compilations of old material, and it'll bear a new cover. Maybe the cover will reflect the theme of what's in Mad. So pretty much the usual gang of idiots, unless something changes, will be done with issue 10. But Mad will continue on to fulfill all the years of subscribers that they have.
Yeah, and was this a surprise to people? Because when I heard about it, I immediately was sad, because we've talked about this before. Dick, Mad Magazine had a huge impact on me when I was young.
Well, it was a total surprise to me. I actually had called to I was asking something about issue 10. And someone said, "Don't you know what's going on here?" And I said, "What's going on there?" And they said, "Yeah, well, pretty much more than half the staff's been let go." I said, "What?" And they said, "Well, yeah, you have in 9, we're working on that now, and you already have something here for 10. They're hoping that there is an 11, because 11 would be the Mad 20, the 20 weirdest things of the preceding year.
Mm-hmm.
But since it's not going to be on newsstands, I don't know if DC Comics is going to do that. So it was a total shock, a total shock.
Wow. Now, for the next two issues that you were just talking about, issues 9 and issues 10, which will be the last ones, how much contribution do you have to those?
Well, you know what? I have an ad in one of them, and I have a thing about Halloween costumes in the second one, because the second one will be out toward the middle of September, so it's a perfect Halloween issue.
Okay, all right. And is the website going to close down, or are people going to have access?
You know
to
what? My guess is that the website will stay up, mm-hmm. so that they could update that and let people know what's going on. It's very funny. People email me and say, what's the inside story on? Well, since Mad moved to L.A., I'm just another one of the usual gang of idiots. When it was in New York, I could walk in and see circulation figures and ask John Ficarra, what are we doing with this? And there, there were 3,000 miles apart, so I had no inside scoop. And, now there's a whole hierarchy. So it's AT&T, bought Warner Media. So then it's AT&T, Warner Media, Warner Brothers, DC Comics, MAD. So we're like five generations of executives down.
Yeah, if that's happening everywhere, you know, with these giant corporations buying up other places, and you know, I was just really sad about it. Now, Mad Magazine launched in 1952, right, at EC.
Yes, exactly. As a comic book, satirizing other comic books. And then after a year or two, I think it was in 54, 55, they changed it to a magazine and said, we'll just satirize everything. Mm-hmm. And that's when it went to the new format. And it didn't look like a comic book anymore, but like a magazine.
Yeah, those old Earth First issues, they look fantastic, but they look so different than what the magazine eventually became.
Absolutely.
And
I was going to say, there's a Mad fans are unbelievable. There's a guy named Doug Gilford who runs this thing called Mad Cover Site, who has he must have thousands of pages of Mad stuff on there. I'm always on his website trying to remember what I wrote. What was the name of the thing I wrote about the ship? And instead of trying to go through all my files that are so badly organized, I just go to his website. But he has a link to another guy's website called Mad Streaks, a guy named Mike Slaybog, I believe it is.
Yeah.
And I looked it up. So my streak started in June 1966, and the streak is of being in every single issue. So from
wow.
June 1966 through the issue that is already on sale, issue 8,
yeah,
I've been in 456 consecutive
amazing.
Issues.
Since 1966.
Yeah, for 53 years.
Yeah, Dick, that's almost as old as me. A few days ago, I turned 54. So that's
amazing.
Oh, okay. That's amazing.
Well, no, we're the same age. I was writing at age one.
That's right.
Very precocious.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right.
You forgot.
Well, I mean, it was such a massive part of my life. And guys around my age, Dick, I'm right in the wheelhouse of when it really took off. Because I'm, like I said, I'm 54. And you know, all that stuff, you know, late 60s, early 70s, especially in the 70s, that's when I was really just obsessed with it. When you did some of my favorite movie parodies of all time. You did Jawed and some of the other ones, and that's when I was at the height of my insanity over Mad Magazine.
Yeah, well, the amazing thing is the outpouring of love on my website, the Mad website, people, and they all have stories like you, is that the magazine meant so much to me that, you know, you told people that the government's not always telling you the truth. That's why back then kids had to sneak Mad into the house.
Yeah.
Parents go, what are you kidding? They're making fun of the government? They're making fun of car companies? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. No, it was a big part of my a big part of my youth, and you know, and I've always loved Mad, and I bought a lot of the offshoot stuff, the paperback books.
Oh, great! Yeah,
things like that, and I loved a lot of the different artists and writers and stuff like that, and you've been a part of it for forever. But there are other guys that I wanted to mention really quickly. I was a massive fan. Well, first of all. As far as artists go, I believe my favorite was Don Martin.
Don Martin's amazing.
Yeah, Don Martin. He had such a distinctive visual style, and I would just before even reading what the jokes were or whatever he wrote, I just look at the characters with the shoes that fold over. You know,
on the street corner, this.
And those just cracked me up. I loved Don Martin as an artist and as a writer. I also loved, and these guys are completely sort of different in style, and that was what was great about it. So many people were different, you know, the style in which they wrote, and that was one of the great things about Mad was how many different kinds of comic geniuses worked under one roof or for one magazine.
No, that's true. And then Al Jaffe,
yeah,
the fold in.
The back cover fold in was a treat every issue. I would save it for last. That would be the last thing I would do, would fold in the thing. And Al Jaffe also did the snappy answers to stupid questions, which I always thought was hilarious.
Oh, you know what? I don't know if there were three or four versions. He wrote paperback books that sold in the millions.
Yeah, I had them all.
And okay. They were hysterically funny things.
Yeah.
You know, the guy standing in the doorway, and he's soaking wet, and the person who just opened the door said, "Is it raining out?" and the guy says, "No, I just took a shower, fully dressed."
Mm-hmm.
"No, there was a bucket of water over the door, and when you opened it, it spilled on me."
Right.
So it was stupid things, silly things you could say back to people who asked stupid questions.
Here's what I remember. What I remember about the paperbacks, Dick, was that he would have three or four snappy answers, and then the final bubble was blank, so that you could write in your own snappy answer.
Exactly.
And I remember sitting for like you know for hours trying to think of smart ass things to say to people so that I could fill in that little thought bubble at the bottom of each page. It was fantastic.
That's great. That's great.
So, and then of course, you know, in a completely different style, Dave Berg, just
what the lighter side.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And you know, so many great and memories and I don't know. It just makes me sad that it's coming to an end and what a run you had. You clearly have the longest run at MAD, right?
I do. I started there in high school and in 62, and then I was writing stuff on and off, and then there was some sort of emergency where they needed like a 5-page thing over the weekend, and Al said, "Can you do this?" Like, it was Friday afternoon. He said, "It has to go to press Monday." I said, "I could do that."
Yeah,
and I did. And then Gaines said, "Oh my God, this is great! What do you need from us?" I said, "I just want to be in every issue." And he said, "Write something for every issue. We would love it."
That's great.
So,
and you know, you've told the story many times on the show here about how it happened, where you sent off a piece to them. And you thought it was a rejection letter, but they hired you, you know?
No. So you have to send a self-addressed stamped envelope, even to this day, although right now MAD's not accepting anything. And so I sent in a piece with the self-addressed stamped envelope. And like a month later, the big envelope came back, my own handwriting, since I addressed it. And I was so depressed, and I opened it up, and there was just cardboard in the envelope, and scribbled on the cardboard. It said, "Ha ha ha! Thought your script was rejected. Stapled to this cardboard is the check for $100," which to me that was like an amazing amount of money.
Absolutely,
back then.
Absolutely.
And and it was signed by Nick Meglin, and he said, "Please call me. I want to talk to you about more work."
Yeah, that's amazing. It's a great story, Dick. Hang on, okay.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Dick DiBartolo is with us. MAD, unfortunately, is ceasing publication, a legendary magazine that meant a lot to so much of us, so many of us. And Dick also has some great match game stories, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And, of course, he's got the GizWiz. He is a gizmo and gadget freak. And we'll get into that more right here on 720 WGN. The news is coming up right after this. Welcome back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I got to tell you, Tom, this computer's making me nuts this morning. The computer that I have right next to me here at the console here by the board, it just shut off, and now it's rebooting and configuring a Windows update. Just turned off right in the middle.
Nice.
So it was moving really slow. Someone had turned it off, and I, you know, so I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. But anyway, it's acting weird. All right. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720. I love technology. We're back, and we're here until 5 a.m., we're in the Allstate Skyline studio. It's Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, baby, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Play them later. It's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We're going to have singer-songwriter Steve Dawson join us. He's going to be coming in here after the 2 o'clock news. He's playing the Square Roots Festival this weekend in Lincoln Square. We are also going to talk about protest songs and hear a few of them, talk about the history of them and what are the best ones, and we want to hear from you as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Right now we are talking with the great Dick DiBartolo, Mad's Maddest writer, the co-host of the Giz Whiz at Giz Whiz TV, and a contributor to many great classic game shows, including some amazing stuff that he did for the classic version of Match Game. We were just talking about Mad and how Mad Magazine is going to cease publication, which is a very sad thing, but we always love having Dick on the show. Dick, welcome back.
Good to be back.
All right. Do you have favorite things that you did for Mad? And, you know, is it like reminiscing a little bit? What are some of your favorite things that you did?
The Poop Side Down adventure was a lot of fun. Recently, the Sully, you know, Sully, the movie about the captain putting the...
Yeah.
I think that's one of my favorites because I used to travel a lot, and you know, I know all about frequent flyers, and it was a way to work all that stuff in. You know, is when they're on the Hudson and they're climbing on the wing, and someone says, "Which part of the wing is first class?"
Right,
and then inside, as the plane is filling with water, one person is saying to the other, "Now watch them. Now this is another excuse we're not going to be served lunch."
I bet it was fun to do that, just because not only just for the. You know, for the fact that you traveled a lot, you did a lot of traveling, but you're a lifetime New Yorker, so you know the Hudson River like the back of your hand.
Oh, you know, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I missed it going by the marina by seconds. I was walking in the marina, and there was someone standing there coming up the three steps, and they said, "Did you see that?" And I said, "What?" And they said, "The U.S. Air?" I said, "Oh, the helicopters are in and out here all the time." I said, "No, a full-size jet." So I ran out to the breakwater, and I could see it downriver.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that must have been crazy.
It was crazy, and I was walking to my boat, and the dock master said, "Hey, don't take your boat out because all marinas are getting notices. Please keep small pleasure boats out of the way of big boats that are going out there to pick up passengers."
Wow. Crazy. That's crazy. Well, see, but then, you know, you had like personal experience then to write that.
Absolutely.
I think some of my favorite things, I mean, I keep mentioning Jawed because, I mean, you know, people who might be too young to remember just how big an impact Jaws made when it was released. I mean, it was, as you know, Dick, it was craziness when that movie was released.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the Poseidon Adventure, too.
Yeah.
The only reason is I have a poster right here on my wall. The Poseidon Adventure cover. You know, it's Alfred in a life ring, except Alfred's feet are out and his head is underwater. yeah, I know. That sold almost 2.5 million copies.
Mm.
That was the largest selling Mad in history. So,
wow, that's great! Yeah. And to have been part of that must have been really. Must have been really special.
And
how much like the episode of The Simpsons was it like in The Office? You remember?
Oh, not. Yeah, you know, it was way crazy when Gaines was around.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Anything, you know, Gaines. He was one day he filled the water cooler with white wine. he would just be nutty. And then when he died, the people from Time Warner came over and said, "Oh, this place looks like a high school newspaper." Which it did, and which we loved.
Yeah,
and they said, "Well, you know, Bill put a wall between you and the corporate world, and he's dead, and the wall's coming down." It was a very depressing kind of meeting.
Yeah,
So it was certainly more lighthearted and fun, I'm sure, than an insurance company office.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the insanity of when Bill was there.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I got to, you know, I got, as soon as this, the news broke, Dick, earlier this week, you know, the first thing I did was I contacted my producer, Tom, and I was like, we got to get Dick DiBartolo on to talk about MAD. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, but I'm feeling melancholy about the whole thing.
No, I totally understand. I totally understand. I mean, the hard thing is going to be when the final issue comes out and to think I'm not going to be crazy like that anymore.
Yeah. Well,
I'll just throw stuff up online, I guess.
Yeah. Well, sure. Sure. But it's a hell of a run though, Dick.
Yeah, I guess not many people have been able to do something for 60 or whatever it is, 57. My brain is going, do something for 53 years in a row.
53
I guess
years,
something.
Yeah, that's incredible. It is incredible. And at what period of time did you start working on the game shows? How long? Because the game shows, a lot of people don't, you know, remember that when the game shows and the panel shows first started, they were all out of New York. All of them were out of New York, and they were populated by like sort of New York actors or Broadway people or writers, columnists, things like that.
That is exactly right. And I was hired to write Match Game, which back then was the questions had no blanks in them. They were name a red flower, name something you do with an egg, name an animal that has babies not with an egg.
Mm.
And then 10 months in, it got canceled, and I was depressed about that.
Yeah.
And then over the weekend, I thought, and Monday I went back and I said, you know, Mark, I work for MAD. And he said, I know. I said, well, you know, these questions, when you look at it, are really deadly, and we should be doing sillier things. He said, like what? I said, like, and this is the first thing I ever wrote, Mary liked to pour gravy on John's blank. And you know, he laughed and he said, well, what will they say? I said, Mark, they're going to laugh and then they'll say meatloaf or potatoes.
Yeah.
But that's fine. And he said, listen, it's canceled. Do what you want.
Yeah.
So I started writing that and then I got 18 years of employment bouncing from show to show.
And I have to say, Dick, I still watch the classics from the 70s. I still watch them.
Me too.
And I just laugh every time. And, Brett and Charles Nelson Reilly and Richard Dawson before he got Family Feud and became a jerk on the show. Because you could spot pre-Family Feud Dawson from post-Family Feud Dawson.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so could Ira Scutch, who was the producer back there. One day he said to Richard, you know, I can get you off this show if you want. And so that ended it for Rich.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, and I still watch the reruns and I can't stand the new version. We talked about this before, Dick. The new version, there's no double entendre. They're working blue.
No.
They're working blue.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The fun thing about the Match Game is what you were thinking and what you knew they were thinking and then put something silly on the card.
Right.
But I watched two episodes of the new one, and I thought, oh, my God, saying this on a network show?
Yeah, I know. And, that's the other thing, Dick, if you've noticed, all of the old game shows are back now. I mean, they're bringing everything back. To Tell the Truth is back. Pressure Luck is back. Card Sharks is back. And because they're cheap to produce, and you know they can just tape them all in one day, and then they just show them during the summer, and they make money on them.
No, absolutely. Who knew?
Yeah.
I mean, who knew that the terrible thing was once a month we would get a big sheet on the desk, and it would say, if you have any friends on the following shows, Match Game, What's My Line, To Tell the Truth, please go to the tape library and save that tape, because on June 30th, we're going to erase 500 tapes from these shows.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know, because tape back then was very expensive.
Yeah.
And they had you know, rooms full of cassettes, because no one dreamed anybody would want to see these again.
Yeah. Wow, that's terrible. That really is. I love watching the old black and white panel shows too. Those are just great. And I would rather
What's My Line.
Oh, I love that. Yep. I love the old What's My Line. I love John Daly. I just think John Daly was magnificent at his job. And you know, like all the old panel people that were always on there. You know, you get your Bennett Cerf and all those people, and
Kitty Carlisle,
Arlene Francis, Peggy Cass.
Yeah.
Just great stuff, man. Great stuff. And it still lives on. I love the fact that, like, there's networks like Buzzer and the Game Show Network that dedicate a lot of airtime to the older game shows. And Match Game is on all the time. The 70s Match Game is on all the time.
And, no, it's great.
Yeah.
Mainly Buzzer these days is doing
right.
A lot with Match Game.
They do a lot with Match Game. Okay, Dick, hang on, okay?
Okay,
because when
good.
We come back, we're going to talk about some of the gadgets and some of the gizmos that you love. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
And also, you did a video celebrating the Walkman's 40th anniversary, and I do want to talk about that.
Okay, too. Very good, yeah.
Okay, Dick, hang on. Dick DiBartolo, one of the greatest, who has written for Mad Magazine at 53 years straight. He's been a part of every single issue since 1966, which is unbelievable. Mad Magazine is ceasing publication. Two more issues left. And we just wanted to talk with Dick about his experience with the great Mad Magazine and Match Game. And when we come back, we're going to talk gadgets and gizmos with him right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. After the 2 o'clock news, a really terrific singer-songwriter named Steve Dawson is going to join us. He's playing the Square Roots Festival over the weekend in Lincoln Square. He's been in the business here for a long time, and we've had him on the show before. He's a great guy, and we're going to hear some live music in studio. He's going to play some music for us right here in studio. Also coming up, the stories that matter with David Jennings in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right here on WGN. All right, let's get back to our conversation with the great Dick DiBartolo. We were talking about Mad Magazine and his years working there and the people that he worked with. And Mad Magazine's going to cease to be no more publication. And we're sad about that. We were just talking a little bit about his work with game shows. And now let's get back to some of the stuff that he's working on. Now, Dick, welcome back, sir.
Very good. So don't forget, Mad with new material is ending, but old traditional Mad with reprints will continue printing.
Okay.
And that'll go to subscribers and be available in comic book stores, not on newsstands.
Okay. All right. So at least we can get the classic stuff. We'll be able to go out and get
some
of the classics.
Yeah, exactly. My guess is that they'll look like the old Mad specials. Like they'll do a Star Wars issue and get all the stuff all of us wrote about Star Wars.
Right.
And maybe do a sports special with all the sporting articles.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, so that'll live on.
Outstanding. Okay, so the GizWiz. Tell us a little bit about that. And
the GizWiz is my co-host, Chad Johnson, OMG Chad, a big YouTuber with Minecraft. I think he has 5 million, 3 million subscribers to his Minecraft show. We do a show about gadgets, and we try to find gadgets that you probably don't know about, both silly. For example, at a recent show, we saw it's called the Town New Trash Automatic Trash Bin. And what it does is you fill it with trash, and then when there's enough trash in there that you want to take it out, you push the button on the front. The lid closes. It seals the plastic bag. It opens. Now it's sealed. So if there was any liquid in there or any cat litter, dirty cat litter, whatever it is, it's in a sealed bag. And then the lid closes again, and it puts another bag out all ready to collect more trash. So that was very unique. And we try and find unique stuff and silly things. You know, I bought, you know, it was always an old joke. And then I thought, you know, I wonder if anybody ever made mop shoes. You know, there's always old cartoons
of
people that would put, And yes, there are mop shoes. They're like heavy-duty mops built into heavy-duty socks, and you put them on over your shoes, and I walked all through my apartment, slid, actually, dancing.
Yeah.
I did a pretty good clean-up job, so mop shoes are a thing, and they work.
Wow, okay. That's great. So that's the kind of things you guys look for. And you do some you still do appearances on ABC World News Now?
I do, and on the last show, this is my new favorite kind of amazing fun device. It's called Bunch of Balloons Party Pack.
Uh-huh.
Now, you may remember their last gadget was 100 water balloons you could blow up in 30 seconds by screwing this thing onto the end of a hose, and it would fill these water balloons, and they would pop off with the rubber band already in place. Well, now they came up with party balloons that you stick in this inflator. You can stick up to 40 stems into this machine. It blows them up in 40 seconds, and when they come off the machine, they're already sealed, and they have a ribbon on them. So if you're having a birthday party or something, here is an easy way to make party balloons.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That's
it's really great.
The
machine and 18 balloons is like $18.
Wow.
And then you can just buy more balloons to stick into it. I thought that was so clever.
That is clever. That really sounds very, very cool. Now, you recently did a thing about the Walkman's 40th anniversary. We talked about gadgets, you know, we talked about gadgets that were really popular and considered high tech back in the 70s and 80s. And to go back and look at those things is really funny. Tell me the gist of the Walkman thing you did.
Well, the thing is that I own one of them.
Yeah.
So it's the 50th. Is it the 50th anniversary?
40th.
I can't even remember.
It's the 40th. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then, on my website is a link to Sony did a great video of all the music plays they've made in the past 40 years with many, many failed formats, you know, like the memory stick. And I was sitting next to a guy in the airplane. He had these headphones and this little thing. And I said, can I ask what that is? And he said, well, before I tell you, here, listen to the music. I was blown away. And he said, it's called the Sony Walkman. I said, I'm going to buy one when we land. He said, well, no, I'm a pilot. And I'm deadheading back from Japan. I bought it in Japan.
Oh, wow, that early, wow.
Yes, and he said it's called the Walkman. It took months before it hit New York at I believe, $230.
Jeez.
And I was able to buy it at a place called 47th Street Photo for just $180. But it's all metal. It has separate volume controls for each channel. It has two headphone jacks, and then something very weird, a microphone on the front and a hot button on the top. Now, it couldn't record, but the hot button and the mic was so you could communicate with the person wearing the other pair of headphones.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Or if someone was walking by and asked you a question, you didn't have to take your headphones off. You just hold the microphone up and hold the hot button, and they'd be talking to you into your headset. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
That's pretty crazy. That is pretty crazy. You know what I love? I don't know if I'm sure you've seen these online, Dick. These videos of little kids, and they give them a Walkman and don't explain what it is.
Yes.
You know, these are kids who even like are post iPod. You know, and they're trying to figure out what is this? What's a cassette?
Well, you know, Polaroid is reintroducing the one step.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years ago, I forgot what they were introducing. And I said, who buys these things?
Yeah.
And they said, young kids, teenagers, they never saw a Polaroid.
Yeah.
And they think this is great.
Yeah.
They think the picture comes right out. It's like the printer is there. I don't have to go to use Wi-Fi. Yeah, so
that's amazing. So, Dick, what are you working on next?
Let's see. I'm doing an ABC spot this weekend, which will end next week. It's kind of fun. It's called Tech Under $10, things you could find for $10 and under.
Okay.
And then continuing doing my show. And then I'm on with Leo Laporte every Saturday on This Week in Tech, where I pick my favorite gadget of the week and talk about that.
Great.
So I still have stuff going on. Not unlike yourself. You know, you do the radio.
Yeah.
You have the jars of jelly. I'm still
subscribing
to that thing.
That's right.
Yeah. And if you finish knitting those potholders, it would be great. I'd like to get my hands on them.
I'll mail them out to you as soon as I can.
Okay.
All right, Dick.
And
always
put the mustache on this time.
Always,
okay.
I will do that. Always a pleasure. And we still have two new issues of Mad, and the old stuff will be available as well. We'll get you back on pretty soon. Okay, Dick.
Okay. Very good.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Okay. Take care. Dick, okay. Bye.
Dick DiBartolo, the best, and we had to have him on to talk about the demise of Mad Magazine.